Holding union employees accountable can be a frustrating part of any manager's job. One of the most prevalent complaints expressed by managers who supervise unionized employees is that human resources acts as a barrier instead of a resource when employees do not comply with workplace rules. The manager's perception that HR won't let me hold union employees accountable results in a hands-off approach, causing lower and lower performance by mediocre union employees. Whose fault is this? Are human resources officers really failing to support a culture of accountability for fear of the unions? Are managers following an appropriate disciplinary process? Why do poor-performing union workers often perceive they're protected from a manager's discipline? Before I transferred into human resources, I too felt the HR team failed to support my attempt as an operational manager to discipline union employees. They did not provide training on the progressive disciplinary process. We managers had to implement corrective actions using a trial-and-error method. Some of my colleagues gave up altogether, given the union's undeserved power. Many managers became fearful in their lack of knowledge on the topic. I've talked with numerous supervisors over the years that truly believe HR simply doesn't want to take on union battles, such as grievances or unfair labor practices. But I've also talked with several HR professionals who state managers fail to follow good process when dealing with non-compliant union employees. Maybe both sides are actually right. Shortly after I promoted to human resources, I developed a more complete perspective. Many managers present weak cases, increasing the risks associated with discharging union employees. This lack of knowledge about the subject causes confusion, ineffectiveness, and frustration, all the while the unions grow stronger. I learned that union workers were not at-will employees, meaning they could only be disciplined for just cause. A decision by a manager to terminate a union employee could be reversed altogether by a third-party arbitrator if certain steps were not followed properly. Such a reinstatement could seriously undermine the manager's credibility going forward. Even though employee discipline is more complex in union environments, giving up altogether is the wrong attitude. When managers fail to hold mediocre union employees accountable, other employees lose respect for the organizational leadership as a whole. Workplace standards drop and productivity suffers, all because leaders do not understand the rules associated with holding union employees accountable. Learning and then applying the steps associated with progressive discipline is the obvious solution. Managers need to be trained in the process in order to assure employee accountability, union or not. While union employees enjoy more protections, including a requirement to discipline or terminate only after just cause is determined, accountability is not impossible. In this article, I share a few basic overarching principles to consider when faced with non-compliant union employees. First, utilize discipline with the intent to help the failing employee succeed. All too often, managers implement discipline as part of an exit plan for the offending union employee. Discipline, particularly progressive discipline, must be designed to warn the employee about potential job loss should they continue to be non-compliant with work rules. This sets the employee up for success while establishing a very credible and defensible case in any potential future dispute, such as a grievance. Another critical step before correcting a union employee is to conduct a good faith investigation before making the decision to discipline. Get everyone's side of the story, including the accused. Just cause discipline is tested by several aspects of the investigation. For example, the investigation must be thorough, fair, and conducted with a sincere intent to find the facts. Investigators must keep an open mind about the allegations until all of the facts are established. There are 7 common tests associated with defining just cause discipline. One should be able to answer yes to each of these questions. Did the employee violate a reasonable rule or work order? Did the employee receive sufficient notice regarding the potential for termination for such violations? Did the employer conduct a sufficient and fair investigation prior to the decision to terminate? Is there sufficient proof, evidence, or facts to support the decision to terminate? Did the employee receive equal treatment compared to other employees in similar situations? Did the employee commit a serious enough violation to render termination? The next step is to accomplish the correct starting point when issuing discipline to a particular union employee for the first time. The first warning cannot be a suspension any more than a final warning can be an informal or verbal notice. Once the individual continues to violate work rules, the manager throttles disciplinary actions up progressively at the right pace. Establishing this pace of progressive discipline often corrects the problem altogether, resulting in a more compliant employee. Starting with the right level of discipline requires sound judgment, balanced with a standardized, reproducible approach to dealing out discipline in a fair, consistent manner across the entire organization. I suggest the following step-by-step options in progressive order as a guideline. The first category involves early, non-disciplinary corrective action types. For example, a policy review or a memo to the file. Perhaps an informal notice of the policy or work rule. A documented coaching session. Next, we escalate to more of a disciplinary category, which involves notice of certain disciplinary actions. For example, a reversible reprimand, a documented verbal warning, and then, of course, the typical written warnings, either the first, second, third, etc. We then reach another category, which is a stronger, higher level of discipline. These are the final written warnings or performance improvement plans. Probation is often applied during this categorical step. Suspension, last chance agreements, and then finally, discharge. Once you have determined a work rule has been violated, proceed with the most appropriate level of corrective action. Your first step may be to simply inform the employee about the rule. Or, assuming the employee knew or reasonably should have known about the rule, discipline may be appropriate. Corrective action fulfills the definition of discipline in the union's view, provided a warning is contained in the message. Usually that further violations may result in additional discipline up to and including discharge. Other types of corrective action, such as training or coaching, may not officially count as discipline, but rather notice about workplace rules. These notifications are worthwhile to serve as documented evidence the employee had sufficient knowledge of company rules. When preparing a disciplinary document, always cite the policy or work rule that was violated. Avoid being vague or telling confusing stories in such documents. Third-party officials may not understand what went wrong without well-defined violations of workplace rules or policies. Decisively and clearly state the facts determined from your good faith investigation. Remember that the employee is not the sole recipient of the memo. You are actually writing to a potentially larger audience, such as future attorneys, labor board officials, or business agents from the union, even arbitrators. The final point I want to make is to avoid disparate treatment or discrimination when implementing discipline. This means you must be able to point to a past practice that is consistent from employee to employee. For example, if your organization terminates employees for time card fraud, they must always terminate every employee for time card fraud. The moment a union employee can demonstrate by example that discipline was softer or different in the past for other employees, the likelihood of his own discipline being reversed through the grievance process is very high. Managers who wish to impose discipline on one employee must impose discipline on all other employees who commit the same violations. While this article does not cover every detail regarding the discipline of union employees, I've introduced a few helpful concepts in their basic context. A thorough review of the 7 tests of just cause is a great starting place for managers to improve their competence regarding union employee discipline. It is indeed a myth that union employees cannot be held accountable. Yes, the rules are a little complex, but once learned and followed, managers will enjoy leading a team with healthy accountability, meaningful productivity, and cultural excellence.